Today we continue our series on happiness, taking a look at this deep sense of peace and joy that the scriptures talk about. Several weeks ago we saw that deep happiness comes from relationships, good relationships, with ourselves, with God, and with other people. Last week we learned a helpful tool, the art of forgiveness, that's really essential to help make good relationships happen. And today we consider one of the pitfalls that can join us on this journey towards happiness. And that challenge is the challenge that sometimes we believe that what's going on around us, the circumstances that we find ourselves in, that those things are the source of lasting happiness. To put it another way, lasting happiness involves not those things. Instead, it involves cultivating a sense of contentment in our lives regardless of what's going on around us. This is a key difference between the way that sometimes we use the word happy as a thing that passes, that comes and goes, and that sense of abiding peace and joy that we see described in the scriptures. The Bible describes this in a variety of ways, a sense of peace that passes all understanding, a deep joy and hope. And the promise is that we can find this type of contentment, we can find this type of happiness no matter what is going on in our lives. Whether we're having a good day or an awful day, whether things are great for us or whether this is one of life's most difficult seasons, we can find contentment and happiness. The story of the scripture that was read from Philippians tells the story. It's actually a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. You remember that Paul was a great teacher and preacher, one of Jesus' great apostles. He started dozens of churches around Asia Minor, and the church at Philippi was one of them. And this scripture passage was written to this group of Christians, and it was in one of the most difficult times in Paul's life. So I want to remind you about what's going on for Paul, and it can help us find a sense, I believe, a sense of contentment, some lessons in our own life. For you see, the circumstances of this letter are important to understand. Paul was in prison. He was most likely imprisoned in Rome. He was facing capital punishment if he was found guilty. He didn't know what the outcome would be, but it was most likely not going to be very good. Many of his churches and the people who loved them were understandably worried. And I love this letter because it's really about seeing difficult circumstances from a new perspective, taking the circumstances that we find ourselves and finding life in them. For you see, this is one of Paul's most hope-filled and joyous letters. In fact, some theologians call it a letter of joy. And yet it's written in the middle of prison. Paul doesn't know what's coming up. He's given everything up to listen to God's call on his life, and yet here he finds himself in a very dark season. He has any number of reasons why he should be bitter or angry or resentful, and instead, we find that Paul is able to write these words, "Be glad in the Lord always." He urges the Philippians to seek the peace that passes all understanding. How does he do that? Instead of seeing imprisonment as a block to spreading the good news of Jesus, Paul instead sees these circumstances as a way of helping to spread the gospel. He looks at his circumstances and says, there are good things that have come from this. The imperial guard, those that were guarding, they've come to know Jesus. And because these people are people of consequence, word will spread because of them. He's been able to be faithful when things aren't going your way as an inspiration to other people. And others have recommitted themselves to telling God's story because Paul has been in prison. They're bolder in their faith as a result. What Paul does not say is that being in prison is good. He doesn't want to be in prison, nor does he likely believe that prison is necessarily God's will for him. He's not denying the difficulty of the situation, but he is claiming that through the power of God, that this imprisonment, this dark season in his life can result in good things, and the difference is crucial. God does not cause bad things to happen to us. Rather, God is with us and creating good even in our bad circumstances if we are able to see it. I've seen this a number of times of people in the congregation and throughout my life in ministry, and And one of these examples, these people that saw good in the midst of difficult circumstances, was one of the saints of this church, Yvonne Yee. And many of you may remember her. She was a longtime member of the church. She suffered a great deal from cancer, especially over the years that I had the opportunity to know her. She struggled, had a great number of health challenges. And yet she had this incredible way of always being positive. Even in the last months of her life, when I go to visit her and be there at her hospital side, and the doctors really didn't have much good to say for her, and yet she found herself offering joy and encouragement and hope. The encounters, conversations with her were a blessing for me as she found herself in these circumstances, and yet even in the midst of these dark times for her, was able to approach life with joy, with happiness, a happiness that was beyond her circumstances. These have been some of the most inspiring moments in my ministry when I've seen people like Yvonne and others offer hope to others, not out of abundance, but out of pain. Patience and endurance, resolve, conflict resolution, resourcefulness, creativity, all these can result from difficult situations. Think about Paul. How is it that he was able to find and maintain joy and abiding sense of peace even while he was in prison? What was his secret? What did he figure out? And how can we make use of it in our own lives, no matter what the circumstances are? I think there's at least four things that we can learn from the Apostle Paul in this letter to the Philippians that we might use in our own life to begin to find lasting happiness. Find lasting happiness in our life as it is, not as we wish that it would be. And one of those keys is to live in the present. To live in the present. Too often, I believe, we can find ourselves living in the past, wanting things to go back to the way that they were, or circumstances to be ways that we know that they will never be again. Sometimes we find ourselves living in the future, hoping and wishing for things that may be possible, but they may not be. And oftentimes we think about our life as kind of a mystery in the future. And yet, when we look to the scriptures, we find that in the scriptures we see the beginning and the end of the story. God promises that we see in the beginning of the story, as well as it's in Jesus was crucified, he rose again, and he will come again. And God promises that same future to us, to you and to me. What this means is that we can have confidence that whatever happens next, no matter what might be coming in the days ahead, we are people who know the end of the story. We know how it's going to turn out. We know the victory that ultimately awaits us. We know that love wins the day. God has our future secure. And we can experience joy and peace now, not based on the season of our life, but rooted in the future that we know is secure in God. And when we know the future, we are able to be where we are and have a sense of peace and joy. Paul, while he's in prison, is able to view the future differently because of his faith. He wants to survive his imprisonment. He thinks that this will happen and undoubtedly prays for it, but he knows that while death and tragedy may win the battle, they've already lost the war. And so he's able to be where he is. Knowing this grand truth fuels his ability to see things differently. And seeing things differently is a step on the path to lasting happiness. So be present where you are. Remember that the end of the story is in God's hands. The second thing that we can do is to change our perspective. In Paul's letter, he writes this, "I have learned the secret to being content in every and any circumstance, whether full or hungry, whether having plenty or being poor." Paul has known the experiences of his life. He knows that there have been times that have been much more difficult than this, and there are times that have been much better than this. And yet, here I am in this circumstance, and I'm able to see in perspective. All too often in my own life, I get locked into a problem or a challenge or a particular point of view, and I just get stuck there. I try to push through the challenge or work my way through it or just buckle down and get it done. But often what I really need to do is to step back and to pause and see if I can get a new perspective on what's going on. We can see the same set of circumstances in different ways. We can see the ways that our circumstances might disappoint us and let us down, but we can also see in those very same circumstances, those things that are good, those things that are a blessing, we can see the possibility and potential in them and how God may use them to move us forward. Finding a sense of lasting happiness means not giving in to the circumstances of our life. It means not accepting suffering or hardship as God's will. It means not losing the drive to see your situation improve. It means not letting your circumstances take away your joy or allow negative circumstances or negative people to bring you down. And an important step on that road is gaining a new perspective. Be present where you are. Gain a new perspective. And then be grateful. Gratitude, whatever forms it takes, is connected to lasting happiness. Social science and psychology, you don't have to look very far to find that even in today's modern science world, we find that there's a dramatic increase of our chances of being happy if we take time to be grateful, even when things aren't going our way, especially when things aren't going our way. Gratitude helps us remain focused on the present, what's going on right now, the abundance that we already have, and mindful of that. It isn't about ignoring the pain in our lives. It's about recognizing our blessings. It allows us to see the ways that God is working and walking with us, not the ways that we believe that God may be absent or failing us. I wonder, how often do you say that you're grateful for something? Either saying thank you to someone else or reflecting on what you're grateful for in your own life. Be present. Find a new perspective. Be grateful. The Apostle Paul shows us these things in his life in prison as he writes to the church in Philippi. And finally, he's able to let go. What helps Paul cultivate contentment and happiness is that even while he's in prison, he trusts that God is in control. He believes with all his heart that God is working for his welfare and not for his harm, and is creating a future for hope. Do you hear what Paul's saying? I can hope, I can feel joy, even in these circumstances. I can find lasting happiness and a deep inner peace, all because I know that I don't have to be in control. God is. And tapping into God's power is what gave Paul strength, even in his dark times. We're not in control, but there is one who is in control. We don't have to always smile. Our lives don't always have to be great. We can maintain a hope for the future because there's a God who does have strength, who does have a vision, who is at work even in our darkest times. Through it all, God loves us. God cares. God is working for our welfare and not for our harm to give us a future with hope. When we know this, we can cultivate contentment even on days that are bad or months that aren't so great, or perhaps a time, years, that might seem like bad years for us. We know not to base our happiness on our circumstances, things that are physical, things that end, things that are external, because when we trust our circumstances, we set ourselves up for disappointment. When circumstances change, our entire basis for joy and happiness is gone. Instead, God invites us to place our trust, our hope, our happiness on God, who will never leave us and forsake us, who walks with us in the difficult times and walks through it with us in the times filled with joy. To be clear, what I mean when I say that we should look beyond our circumstances, I'm not suggesting that we settle for less than ideal situations. I don't mean that we should stop hoping and working to make things better, or that we should cover up our pain by pretending to be in a good mood all the time. I'm not suggesting that we should sugarcoat our life or that we never have permission to have a bad day or a bad week or a bad year. Instead, I mean that finding contentment in God will prevent our happiness from rising and falling when things change. This kind of happiness can sustain us in the very worst of times, and it can temper us in the very best of times, because it is rooted in God's presence, in God's love for all people. And in a counterintuitive way, when we root our happiness and contentment in God, it actually can allow us greater freedom to feel what we need to feel on any given day without those feelings ultimately defining us or our joy. So whether you're having a good day or a bad day, a great year or a really difficult season in your life, be assured that Scripture promises joy, hope, peace, and happiness in God. The good news is that our happiness is secure when it's based on our relationship with Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? O God, grant us the serenity to accept the things that we cannot change, the courage to change the things that we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen.